I'm Janet Long. I am Pinellas County Commissioner, District 1. It's countywide, and I'm president of your club this year. So I'd like to remind you of some Tiger Bay rules and how we keep order in the house here. Please turn off your cell phones and/or silence them. And please remember our Tiger Bay demeanor. We have worked really, really hard this year to elevate our programs and to be very thoughtful and deliberate about our questions and respectful of our participants. On your tables, you'll see the little black bowl, and that is there for you to, if you have any loose dollars in your pocket, to please consider tossing them in the bowl. That is our funds to help us bring aspiring future politicians and elected officials to Tiger Bay from our high schools and from our colleges. And also, there should be a comment card on your table if you have ideas for a speaker or how we can improve the club. For those of you that are active on Facebook and Twitter, please share with your friends that Tiger Bay is meeting and let them know that the topic that we have here today with our House members, and tell them that they're missing a great, great opportunity to become informed. I'd also like to thank St. Pete Radio, Radio St. Pete, for broadcasting our program live, and it'll later be shared on Facebook, so check your Facebook feeds. Now, for the program report. On October 6th, oh boy, please put this on your calendar, everyone. We're having a congressional debate with Congressman David Jolly and our former governor, Charlie Crist. I'm sure you'll agree that that's going to be very interesting, and it's going to be right here at the St. Pete Yacht Club. And I'd like to thank Elise Minkoff for being one of our sponsors. We appreciate that greatly. Thank you, Elise. And we're going to have on October 13th, County Commission candidates, Chairman Charlie Justice and his opponent, Mike McCurick, and hopefully we'll be able to have that in mid-county somewhere, since it's a county-wide race and we want to have everyone have an opportunity to come. And then, of course, on November 10th, we have scheduled an election wrap-up, which who knows how that's going to turn out. It's going to be here at the Yacht Club, and it is either way going to be very interesting. We do have luncheon sponsorships available, and we have a number of candidate forums in the coming months, in addition to great live programming. And so please see Chandra if you'd like to help us schedule a lunch.
RadioSt.Pete.com, live event coverage at the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club Luncheon at the St. Pete Yacht Club. Janet Long is at the podium.
Oh, you got a job ahead of you. Okay, so again, the rules for Tiger Bay and the Fang and Claw questions are on your tables. Please review them prior to asking a question. Remember, only Tiger Bay members may ask questions. You know, those of you that have your badges on. You have 45 seconds to frame your questions. No exceptions, no speeches, please. Ask a single question, wait for the microphone, and then please state your name clearly so our Tiger Bay questions can be, we can make decisions at the end of the lunch. Rating the Fang and Claw questions today are several board members that are in our audience. Vice President Todd Jennings, who's down front here, Todd, raise your hand. Carol Buemiller, I know she's, okay. Betty Morgenstein, there you are. Harvey, great. And David Milchan, wonderful, okay. Well, I think you all know our dear friend Peter Schorsch here. He's our moderator, and he's gonna be taking over for the rest of the program. Each candidate will have 1 minute for introductions. Okay, so don't mess with my papers.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Good luck.
Good afternoon, Tigers. It is a pleasure and an honor to be with you on this election campaign season. It's I like when there's more people here. It's a nice audience. I see in the front row we've got some of our best questioners ready, I hope, ready to ask some good questions today. Like we said, the rules are going to be that they're going to get a minute introduction. You know how I like it. I like to give you all the opportunity to ask as many questions as possible. So I will get out of the way, and not like Lester Holt get out of the way, but I will get out of the way and try and let you ask as many questions as possible. But I do reserve the right to follow up, and I do reserve the right to maybe ask an additional question if I think the answer has by the candidate it is not to the question you asked. And then we'll end with a little fun rapid fire. And so it's unfortunate, and I have to note that two candidates are not here. Jennifer Webb, who's running against Kathleen Peters, had a very serious health issue and had to cancel, and I think she's missed an opportunity with that, but we wish her and her family the best. But I do have to point out that the Democrat running against Chris Latvala is not here today, and he specifically objected to one of my previous questions, and that was of J.B. Benzamine, who was running for District 68. He's a transplant from Palm Beach. And so I asked him if he could name the mayor before Rick Kreisman, and he could not. And I asked him to name a favorite restaurant on Fort Street, which he could not. And he said that those questions were not serious. Whether or not they're serious or not, I think that they illustrate whether a candidate knows our community, which I think Tiger Bay is especially proud of. This is the Suncoast Tiger Bay. There's a Tallahassee Tiger Bay, et cetera. So I will continue to ask those kinds of questions as they go forward. I saw in the David Jolly, Charlie Crist campaign that Adam Smith asked that same kind of question. I'm a member of the Capitol Press Corps. If a candidate up here cannot answer my questions, they are going to have a hard time dealing with more savvy reporters like Gary Fineout, Steve Bosquet, et cetera. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Representative, let's go in order of 66. Yes, we'll start with Representative Larry Ahern, Republican, for 1 minute introduction, please.
Good afternoon, Tiger Bay members. It's a real honor and pleasure to be here with you and our moderator, Mr. Peter Slorsch, who is all things online and contacts Florida for policy, Florida politics, Sunburn, and St. Peter Walk, and Influence Magazine. It's good stuff.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Checks in the mail.
I've been the state representative for District 66 for 6 years now. It's been a real honor and privilege to serve in that capacity. I think the body of work over that 6 years speaks for itself, but I'll just talk a little bit about what happened during this past session, some interesting things. We reformed the PSC, which it will save $600 million to the ratepayers of Duke Energy. We also, cut taxes. I see I only have 10 seconds. I used up too much time. But we also invested $550 million in Pinellas transportation agencies. I think that's a real plus.
Running against Representative Ahern is Lorena Grizzle, whose mother was the first woman elected to the Florida House of Representatives, I believe.
First
Republican woman elected to that. So thank you very much for being here.
Yes, I see I'm the only Democratic candidate here. So I'm also the only Democratic candidate here in these three districts who qualified by petition. And we went out to 5,000 doors to do that. And I'm a teacher. I work over at Mildred Helms Elementary in Largo. I'm a single mom with one child in college, and I work two jobs. So I have my finger on the pulse of the community, and I hope I can earn the vote of some people who live in my area. But I'm out there working very hard, and we hope to get our vote this week. I have one of the best campaign managers, and I'm very proud of her, and I'm very proud of my team. And I want to thank you all for having me here today so I can talk about them too.
Thank you for coming. And you've got a microphone right there, right? Next up, he is running in District 67. It's running for a second term. It is Chris Latvala.
Thank you very much, Peter. And thank you all very much for inviting me. It's an honor to speak with you all today and hear from your questions. The main thing about being a public servant is you have to learn to represent everybody, people that agree with you, people that don't agree with you. And I look forward to giving y'all specific examples where I put my community above my party, as I've done the last 2 years. And I'm sorry that my opponent does not respect y'all enough to be here. But he is a transplant from Palm Beach County. He's lived here for a year. He ran for Congress in Rhode Island in 2012, then moved to West Palm Beach, where his law office is currently located. And since that time has changed his political party 4 different times. So I look forward to telling y'all both about myself and the guy that is afraid of me.
And running in District 69, which is kind of our beach district, my friend Kathleen Peters.
Good afternoon. It's great to be here. And you always have a big crowd here at Tiger Bay. You know, you all know me. I've been here many, many times, and I've been a part of this community for over 30 years. But what I'm telling you I accomplished in this last year, in the last couple of years, I'm really, really proud of. Our sheriff and our public defender demanded that I reform the entire mental health system in the state of Florida. And that was no easy task, and I didn't realize how big of a deal this was, and that mental health and addiction are the number one, it is the number one thing that is consuming resources in every sector. And so I spent 2 years, the last 2 years since I saw you last, touring prisons, mental hospitals, and forensic facilities where the criminally insane are kept. When I was done, I came out with, in the beginning, I came out with a 5-year plan to reform the entire mental health system. And I figured it was going to take me 5 years. I did it in 2 years, and I got more done in 2 years than I ever dreamed I could ever get done in 5. So I'm really proud to be able to come back and talk to you a little bit more about that.
All right, and here's our first curveball for the afternoon. Representative Peters, you can stand up, keep standing. We're going to work it back this way. I'll start with one question, and then we'll get Chandra going, because I don't know if I see her or not. Oh, right there. Okay, I saw you drinking, so which is nothing new. Nothing new. Representative, this is a question for all four of you, so you can answer it. Which is a greater threat to Florida's environment, the sewage spill in St. Petersburg or the sinkhole episode in Mulberry, Florida?
That's a really good question, because both of them are a true risk and threat. The sinkhole, if that contamination gets in our water table, that's a problem for all of us. And water is one of our most precious basic needs and resources that we need. The sewer system, my concern with the sewer system, I think it's the number one crisis in this area. What concerns me the most is when we had our delegation meeting, the DEP reported that of all the sewer spills in the state of Florida for this year, Pinellas County is responsible for more than half of all of the total spills around the state. And that's going to cause more algae blooms, bacteria, and what that will, the bacteria that's resistant to antibiotics is going to hurt our tourism industry. It's going to hurt our quality of life. We have spent too many decades trying to clean up our waterways. Tampa Bay, it took decades to get that clean and back up to the 1950 levels of nitrogen. And how dare we go backwards?
Thank you. Representative Gladwell.
Thank you very much. They both are very important. And they both are crises, and I believe yesterday Governor Scott issued an order saying that the public needs to be immediately notified when either sewage spill or a sinkhole of that magnitude happens. And as for the dumping that's going on in St. Petersburg, the city administration still is not being truthful to the extent of what was going on and what happened. But it's unconscionable what happened. Last year during session, I met with Yolanda Roman, who's a city council member in Gulfport, which is an area that I do not represent, but she's from my community and from my county, so I met with her. And she told me about the sewer crisis, or the sewer issues that they were having in Gulfport. St. Petersburg has never mentioned that to any of the legislators. So that they just need to be more forthright and truthful.
Thank you. Mrs. Grissom.
First of all, addressing the sewer thing, my mother was the person who actually first got the sewage stopped being dumped into Tampa Bay, and that was in the 70s. So this is a temporary thing. It's not the most dangerous thing that can happen. But what I don't know if you all know, I'm also an artist. My opponent took $500 from Florida Phosphate Pack, and that is probably the worst thing that we have going on now, because that sinkhole now is 750 feet deep, they think. It's going in the aquifer. It's gypsum and with the radioactivity, and it's got sulfites and sodium. It's the worst thing that can happen down. I would hate to live down water from that area. So that is one of our most dangerous things. In fact, our public drinking water safety is one of the worst, least addressed things in the legislature now, and I intend to change that.
Representative Ahern.
Thank you. You know, I think we know and have studied somewhat and demanded some accountability for the St. Petersburg spills and around the county. So this one, as I read the story this morning on this phosphate mine storage, 215 million gallons being stored on a property, and the sinkhole opens up. I think we need to know more about just this kind of type of storage. How many of these are being stored? Demand some more accountability from this particular type of industry. So if successful this election, I plan to make sure that we take care of our drinking water more in a stronger manner with these types of businesses that could possibly threaten our ability to make sure that we have clean water and drinkable water.
Thank you. That's your microphone. You're good. All right, Chandra, you're ready. All right, can I see hands on? Oh, right there. Commissioner Ken Welch, and then Bruce up in front.
Good afternoon, Ken Welch, and thank you for your service. Peter mentioned an imminent threat of sewage and a sinkhole. Almost a million Floridians face another imminent threat, and that is the threat of getting sick without health care insurance. The Florida House is sitting in the way of Medicaid expansion despite bipartisan efforts on the Senate side. What will you do to address that imminent threat that a million Floridians and 50,000 Pinellas citizens face every day?
And that's directed to everyone. Okay. We'll start with Chris Lapbella and then work left back over to Kathleen Peters.
Thank you very much, Commissioner, for that question. Medicaid in Florida expands every year without government involvement. It's the largest part of our budget. As to your other question about what would we do for health care, there's a couple bills that the House passed last year. One was direct primary care, which said that a business can give money directly to a doctor or physician for services that their employees can take advantage of and get rid of kind of the middleman. So there's that bill. There's another bill that Representative Sproul sponsored that passed and is now law for healthcare transparency costs. So people know exactly how much money a knee replacement costs or an exam. Because oftentimes, if you don't have insurance, there's a different price than if you do have insurance. And so it just makes it accountability, and so people know what they're getting from it.
Ma'am? Miss?
Well, if you've been to my website, you know that I support Medicaid expansion. I have for several years now. The people you're hurting are the classroom assistants, you're hurting the bus drivers, you're hurting the cafeteria workers, you're hurting a lot of people by not having that expanded. And a study has shown that 8% tax is really what we're being paid, what we are paying on this, because we don't have it. It's about $1,200 per person per year. So in that, if you look at and then I want to tell you about my sister who passed away because she couldn't get Medicaid expansion. Her hospital bill was $50,000 before she died. And the Medicare came in, picked it up because it was renal failure in the end. And we paid $50,000 for something that could have been prevented for $500 plus the cost, the tragedy of her losing her life. So yes, I am for Medicaid expansion. Thank you, Kenwell, for bringing that up.
We've looked at the Medicaid expansion for a couple of years now and have worked in the House to come up with some of our own programs that would cover the people most vulnerable in that. Remember, Medicaid was a safety net. It wasn't designed to be a total insurance policy. And that's the part that I think we always tend to forget about. We've done some things that will allow for private health insurers to come in. We proposed some plans that would subsidize these, some health care accounts that people could draw on to set up to be able to participate in regular, real insurance, the ones that you, like you and I have, that would really benefit from this this type of program. So we'll continue to work on more transparency, some free market solutions, and sadly, as the federal government has discontinued the LIP program, the low income pool, to us in order to try to force Medicaid expansion on us, we'll continue to backfill that as well.
Thank you, sir. Representative Peters?
We get this question every time, and I told you that I've called out to doctors, and there are not doctors available on Medicaid. And I just did a whole study throughout the whole state, and if you could find me a psychiatrist that will take Medicaid, it is far and few between. We can't even find psychiatrists that will take insurance. And I went on a tour at a naval base in Pensacola, and I looked at a company, and they had 400 employees. And what's great about this company is 80% of their employees must be either disabled, developmentally disabled, or mentally ill. And I interviewed these employees, and one of them was a woman who started there wiping tables. It's a union job. She was making $1061 when she started. She's now been 5 years being promoted to dishwashing section number 4, and she's a supervisor of that dishwashing section. And I asked her, what is so great about this new job? And she said, the best part about this job and being here, other than being with other people like me, is I no longer have Medicaid. I have real insurance with my job, and for the first time, I have access to a doctor, and I can see a doctor, and I have great care, and I feel good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bruce, we're going to go right here.
Bruce Morger. A couple of observations first.
Bruce, a question, please, with respect. With respect, just go directly to your question.
Inasmuch as we have the distinction of the Pulse nightclub being the greatest act of terror in terms of a single shooter, inasmuch as Marion Hammer is probably the strongest, most person in the state, what do you intend to do regarding assault weapons and high-powered weapons?
Ms. Grizzle, we'll start with you and go to Representative Ahern and wrap. Thank you.
Well, now that you mentioned Marion Hammer, I think that we're going to see a legislature without passing anymore, except perhaps we can get the assault ammunition ban, the high power, the high capacity ammunition, which would, that would be a big start. I don't expect much more to happen, but I will continue to work for gun safety, and I would like to see high-powered rifles actually. We need to get rid of it at the end.
I'm going to add on a question with that. Mm-hmm. Do you support or oppose open carry?
I oppose open carry, and I'll tell you, I can't imagine that we want to show that our kids that role model.
Thank you.
You know, it's you know, the gun bills have always been some of the most controversial and hard votes to take, even at sometimes, especially with these types of tragedies in our state and other states as well. You know, and I don't know that banning weapons are the answer to all these. You know, that always seems to be the first reaction, the knee-jerk reaction is to, you know, start banning things. And we know it's a Second Amendment right, so it's not something that we would take lightly. I think we have to do a better job of making sure that the people who interview this, I saw that the FBI report today, and they didn't even check the Facebook of these kind of folks where it was obvious that they were a problem. And so I think we have to do a better job of making sure that the people who are out to hurt us are stopped prior to that happening. And
on open carry?
Open carry. I supported it in the committee, and Florida used to be an open carry state, and maybe you didn't know that, and they fought against it, and now we're debating whether it should be again. So I think we look at keep my options open.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Peters, if you go ahead on the Bruce question, and then you could just answer the open carry question at the end as well.
You know, I don't support going against the Constitution. And if you could tell me one other Constitution amendment that we can arbitrarily go in and cut it. We can't do it on the First Amendment. Can't can't do it on the First Amendment. And so if you can tell me an amendment, a constitutional amendment, one of our rights that we can do that to, we can't. And so I have lots of reservations when it comes to taking away our constitutional rights. And I heard this debated, and it was a great debate, because the freedom of press and freedom of speech, we don't get to do that. And so I do have great concern. I'm not a fan of assault weapons. It's not something I'm a fan of. Open carry, I support fixing a glitch with the open carry, but I'm not a fan in anywhere walking down the beach, somebody carrying a gun in the wide open. But I do support fixing the glitch so that people aren't criminalized when there's an accidental exposure.
I'm not going to debate you, but I do believe there are modifications to the Fourth Amendment quite often and the First Amendment as well. But go ahead.
Thank you very much.
I was looking at you, Minkoff.
thank you for the question, Bruce. If you want to ask what Marion Hammer thinks of me, you should ask her. And she will tell you that she doesn't look at me very highly. Matter of fact, she called me a betrayer of the Second Amendment in an email blast to her members. There's been three times that I can think of off the top of my head where I've stood against the NRA. 2 years ago, I was the only Republican in our Criminal Justice Committee that voted in support of Daryl Roussan's bill to ban backyard gun ranges that spurred up because of St. Petersburg. So I stood alone that time. This past year, I was the deciding vote in committee that killed changing Stand Your Ground, and it would have given more burden on the prosecutors to prove that somebody wasn't standing their ground if they claimed that. So I stood against the NRA that time too. And as for open carry, I voted against it not once, not twice, but three times this year. In the next coming weeks, when the NRA reveals their report card, I assume that not only will I be the lowest rated Republican, but it'll be very similar to my college athlete. So thank you
very much. I'm looking right behind you, Chandra. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. She knows how I'm feeling today. I'm Terry Bryan, and when the Constitution was written, the kind of guns that were used were not assault rifles, etc. So my question to you would be, how many of you are receiving funds or have received funds from the NRA or the insurance company?
Representative Ahern, have you accepted a contribution from the NRA or an insurance company?
I have not.
Okay. Representative Peters, a contribution. Have you received any contributions from the NRA?
Or insurance companies? Which insurance companies? I mean, there's homeowners.
There's so many. For the gun insurance. Gun insurance companies or just any? Progressive, Geico. Okay. Yes, insurance or gun. Have you accepted a check from?
I've accepted checks from the insurance companies. I'm not sure about the NRA.
Okay.
Don't recall.
Okay.
I have not received a dime from the NRA, and I don't expect to. As for the insurance companies, I do remember getting a check from a health insurance company 2 years ago. And in fact, this past session, I told them that if they did not cover a four-year-old a little girl in my district, that I would never speak to them again. So if you want to, call me beholden to that, so be it. But that company hasn't given me a dime this year, and I don't expect them to.
Thank you. Ms. Grizzle.
I haven't accepted a dime from insurance or the NRA, and I think you might want to change your answer about the insurance company.
Yeah, State Farm. I have taken a check from State Farm Insurance. I thought you were talking about there's a gun insurance that was reported. I thought that was what you're talking about.
All right, great. Miss.
Helen Riley, All-Star Grant. Representative Ahern, what's your name? I'm Helen Riley. In your first response, you called for more accountability from public and private entities with regard to transparency, with regard to watering sources. How do you square that with your support for deregulation?
Easy. When it's jeopardizes public safety, it's always going to be a place for the government to step in and do what needs to be done to protect public safety. It's first and foremost.
Let him answer, please.
That's my
answer. I think that's Representative's answer. Okay, Todd Jennings, please.
My question is for Ms. Grizzle. Your opponents passed and sponsored some legislation that affects senior citizens in a positive way, guardianship rules and others. Can you name one of those bills and how you would expand on it if you were elected?
Well, the nursing home bill he passed, which is a good thing. However, somebody passed away right after that, being left out in the sun. So I think we could do some more work on the nursing home bills. And also, I think we're all on the same page as far as the senior citizens. I mean, I'm getting close to that myself, so I don't see any reason why I would be against that.
That brings up a good question. We're going to start with Kathleen Peters. What is one bill or idea for a bill? And we're going to work all the way down, proposed by the other party that you support.
For 3 years, I supported the equity bill. Typically, that was sponsored, originally that was sponsored by a Democrat in Orlando. Right now, I think Holly, a Republican, might have it now. It had originally started as a Democrat. And that is to ensure equitable treatment for any gay, lesbian, heterosexual, and I think it's important. In the beginning, the 4 years ago, I didn't support it because there was a statement in there that would have been discriminatory to businesses that had a uniform. And I told them, I said, if you change that, you've got my full support. I didn't sponsor the bill. And they didn't change it that year, but they did the second year. They called me, we talked about it, we got it fixed. And ever since then, I've co-sponsored it ever since. We just haven't gotten it passed yet.
Good. Representative Flatballot.
Thank you very much. For the past 2 years, I've had the honor of being the prime co-sponsor to a bill that Representative Murphy, who's a Democrat from Newport Richey, sponsored, which was a nuclear cost recovery fee that Duke and Progress Energy imposed on us. And it would have repealed it and refunded our money to, or refunded the utility money back to the customers. And so I'm proud to do that. I also have supported bills proposed by both Representative Dudley and Rousseau.
Tough question follow up for you. There's the party of Latvala. Can you give me two instances where you have broken with Senator Latvala and gone against him?
Well, Commissioner Welch brought up one example in his first question. And I know that there's been other instances, but I can't, I would have to think about that. That's by far was the biggest one, but there's been other bills. In fact, there's a bill I wanted to, I probably shouldn't throw him under the bus, but he killed one of my bills a couple years ago. So, you know, there's, you know, times that we do disagree, but it's an honor to serve alongside.
Thank you. Representative Ayer.
Thank you. Representative Irv Schlossberg sponsored a bill that would take the money from the tickets, from some of the money from the red light tickets, and instead of it all going into the general fund, it would be used for driver education and training and so forth. He's a big proponent of those types of things, and I was proud to be a sponsor of that particular bill. Plus, the I also co-sponsored in the Representative Rousson's backyard gun bill as well.
Ms. Grizzly, I'll give you the same opportunity. Is there one singular Republican idea that you could get behind that you've seen come out of the legislature?
Good question. Well, I think we're going to see some bills come out for the environment, and I would be right behind that. And I think that I see two people here who would do that, too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go with Art, and then back. Yes. And then Senator Latvala. So a little triangle there.
Art O'Hara. We're seeing major metropolitan newspapers around the country and some leading Republicans switching their endorsement, and some of the papers for the first time in their 100-year histories endorsing a Democrat for president as opposed to Republican. I'm curious as to whether or not any of you, and for everybody, are going to be supporting Donald Trump for president or Hillary Clinton. Thank you.
Okay, we will start with Representative Latvala and then wrap.
Recently, my opponent, who's not here, stated that he couldn't understand how anyone could ever support Hillary Clinton. He also called the Democratic Party corrupt and said that they cheated Bernie Sanders out of the nomination. So I would agree with his assessment on Hillary Clinton.
But let's just follow up. Will you be voting for Donald Trump in November?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Calm down. Calm down. Ms. Grizzle, will you, clearly you're not going to be voting for Donald Trump. Will you be voting for Hillary Clinton in November?
Absolutely, yes. And I think she's the most qualified person up there running for president.
Thank you. Representative Ahern.
Thank you. And I think Representative Latvala was on to it earlier when he talked about, you know, once you're elected, you represent all the people, not just your party. And unfortunately, you know, with some of the name calling and, you know, that Mrs. Clinton has sort of tagged us with or put us in that category with, you know, sadly, it's, you know, that she would, you know, just not understand that she represents everybody. And that you, you know, those types of things are well, I won't even use the word that she used to call me that. But
I think the question is, hold on. All right.
I will Democratic be supporting caucus the Republican nominee for president, and that will be Mr. Donald Trump.
Thank you very much. Representative Peter.
The original question was, are we going to endorse? I have not endorsed anybody, and I have no intention of endorsing anyone. It's enough just to deal with the state issues that I'm dealing with, mental health and homelessness and the other things that I've tackled. So no, I'm not endorsing anyone. And when it comes to the day when I go in to vote, you know, I'm going to have the same kind of opportunities that you do where I think real hard. I am a true Republican. I'm very conservative. I'm a compassionate conservative, and that's probably where I'll lean. But right now, I want to answer the first question. I'm not endorsing anybody.
All right, we're going to let that go right there.
Chairman Westby, a lot of constitutional lawyers in Florida and the Tampa Bay Times have questioned the amendment for the medical marijuana bill should be placed in the Constitution. The Times made a pragmatic argument that it should be a statute because there would be imperfections in it, science would advance, changes would need to be made, and would be much better coming from the legislature. Each of you express your positions on that.
I'm going to condense that. We're going to start with Ms. Grizzle, and it's going to be, do you support Amendment 2, and why or why not?
I support Amendment 2 because I think it's the only way it's going to get through. Unfortunately, our legislature will not do anything about it, and I'm not speaking specifically for the members, but as a body of the whole. And one of the things that happened to me, I had a child in my second grade class who had seizures, and she passed away from her heart condition, which was a result of the seizure. She was a shaken baby syndrome child in my special ed class. So I saw where that could help this child. What they have out there right now would not have helped her, and I think we need to do it and do it without delay and in the legislature.
Representative Ahern.
Yes, I don't support Amendment 2 for some of the very same reasons. There's no definitions in the Constitution, and there's no way to change it to make sure that you can get what you want. And we have been working the last two sessions, we did pass a medical marijuana bill, and it's being set up to be grown, but we hold it all accountable. We pay for it. We make sure it's the low THC variety. It's not the smokable type. Those are the types of things that really Amendment 2 seeks to do away with, and you'll end up with recreational marijuana here if you vote for Amendment 2. Ultimately, that's where it's going.
Thank you. Representative Peters?
I don't support Amendment 2. I don't think it should be in the Constitution. I think if there's going to be any more changes other than Charlotte's Web, which already addresses seizures, so we've already done that. Absolutely no, I do not support it. I think it's recreation, and I think what I've learned in the last 2 years on mental health, and there's research, substantial research, that says that marijuana is, because of the reduction in dopamine, is one of the number one reasons for severe depression. And genetically, if it's in your genome, you can have your whole life and never have a mental illness. But if it's in your genome, marijuana, every regular use of it could trigger it. I learned too much, and I can tell you, as far as substance abuse, the number one reason our children are taken away and put in foster care is because of substance use. The number one reason. The people going to our prisons in Florida, more than 80% of them, the number one thing that they need is substance use services, and when they come out back into the community, the number one resource they need is substance abuse. Not mental health, not mental health. I couldn't believe the numbers when I saw it. It was substance use. So no, I don't support it.
Thank you. Representative Blackwell.
Thank you very much. I do not believe that it should be put in our Constitution. It's something that the legislature should deal with statutorily. And the legislature has passed bills helping kids with seizures the last couple of years, including other folks as well.
Thank you very much. Let me get it. Sean, real quick, how much time do we have left in the program overall?
You have how long your life around?
5 minutes.
So after Jack will
last. Oh. After, all right, we're gonna get two in because those are two of my favorite.
Be quick.
Yeah. So we'll go Senator Latvala, we'll just go to Gregory Wilson, then we'll close with Andrake for geography's sake.
This is quick. I have a question for Representative Latvala. Where in the world did you get that tie?
One minute, please.
Number one, I told you weren't allowed to ask questions, and you didn't abide by that. Number two, from your closet.
Gregory Wilson.
I'm Gregory Wilson. We all read the paper this morning about the sinkhole, and we looked at it in 1984, I believe. Notice came out quickly to the surrounding area, and in 2005, some regulation changed that allowed people to not have to give warning for some period of time, possibly endangering people's health and well-being. You're all off the hook for that because you weren't elected back then. But have you authored a bill or supported a bill that removed regulations or weakened regulations that by most definitions today would endanger people's lives in a situation similar to what we're reading about this morning?
Okay, we're going to start with Representative Latvala.
I did vote against the fracking bill. Last year, I was one of, I believe, six Republicans that did so. And some of the arguments being made by people that were against fracking mentioned things like sinkholes.
Okay. I'm going to skip over you on this one. Representative Ahern.
At least to the best of my knowledge, any deregulation type bill that I voted for that is currently in statute has not had any detrimental effect. Again, public safety is always the number one key when you're doing any type of deregulation, be it for architects or hairdressers or whatever it might be. We look at those every year and look to see if there's any undue burdens, but nothing to my knowledge that has passed has created that situation.
How did you vote on the fracking bill that Representative Latvala brought up?
I did vote for it on the
okay. And Representative Peterson, add on the answer to the fracking bill if you don't mind.
Okay, I can't think of any deregulation in the last 4 years that I've been in session that would cause any harm. I'm not thinking of anything at the top of my mind. Now, on the fracking bill, Representative Latvala and I have a different definition and interpretation of that bill. My goal was to have a total ban on fracking. That bill, if it passed, put a moratorium on fracking, and it couldn't be lifted unless the legislature voted on new regulations after a study. So it gave us the ban. It was the only bill that came before me that banned fracking. Moratorium and a ban are the very same thing, and that was the objective and why I supported it. And once you get that moratorium in there, it is not an easy thing to lift something that, you know, and to bring it back up and to take that back. So I'm very proud of supporting that fracking bill because it put a moratorium on it.
Thank you very much. And we will close with Ann McMullen.
Thank you. Andrake McMullen with Rural Wealth Management. The Florida Department of Transportation has plans to replace the Howard Franklin Bridge. As part of that replacement, they are going to take one lane of the four away and toll it. Do you have any alternative funding options other than tolling the bridge to continue to improve our basic infrastructure and continue to Howard Franklin Bridge?
We will start with Ms. Grizzle.
Well, I think we need to look at how the gas tax is being utilized. Because I'm a teacher and I'm down here in Pinellas, I haven't seen those figures, but I think that's where we should look first. And we also, some of our tax money that we use for our tourists, we could use for the roads. But like I said, I would love to do the research on it and get back with you. I don't agree with what they've done, and I think Senator Latvala spoke out for that, and I think he's completely correct. They should not hide that from us.
Thank you very much. Representative Ahern.
Yes, I would agree that Senator Latvala's letter, I think, was pretty clear about taking away a lane. I think we were all under the mindset that it was going to be an additional lane to help speed up traffic or allow you a shortcut, so to speak. But I think we have to address the bigger problem, both state and regionally, about the gridlock in Tampa Bay and Pinellas County, Hillsborough County. So in terms of funding it, that's always the biggest question. But you know, we do have some opportunities with Senator Latvala as the appropriations chair to maybe address some of those in the upcoming sessions.
By the way, Senator Latvala would love anybody to come to his office if they do have an appropriation idea. I spoke with him about that on Monday, and he said that he was open to any funding project in Pinellas. It's going to have an open house soon on that. Representative Peters.
I don't support the toll on the bridge, especially if they're taking a lane down, but I don't support a toll on the bridge. I don't like that. The only bridge that we have to pay right now to get over in Pinellas County is on the Bayway. And I got a problem with that only the people going to Tierra Verde and Safety Beach have to pay a toll to get to and from their homes or go grocery shopping. I don't like it. I don't think it's right. When we redid all the other bridges in the county, from Clearwater to Sand Key to Bel Air to, you know, even Treasure Island, no tolls. But on the Bayway, they got to pay a toll. And so, no, I'm not a fan of the tolls on the Howard Franklin. And do I have a suggestion? No, but I think it's worth exploring numerous options.
Thank you very much. And Representative Latvala. And your tie.
Actually, I got my tie across because I'm frugal. But as for the tolls on the Howard Franklin, I am against tolling the Howard Franklin. And I told the Times that last night. And as for how to pay for it, you know, obviously use existing budgetary funds that we have and prioritize that.
All right, thank you. All right, we're going to do a lightning round. We're going to go 5 minutes. We're going to start with Representative Ahern. You're all going to get the same questions. You can just stand up and answer them rather than, I think we'll get through quicker. All right, so first question. You're coming from Tampa Airport. And you have to take a ride home. Do you take an Uber Lyft or a taxi cab?
Uber Lyft.
Are you supporting Amendment 1, the solar power amendment?
I am.
Give Rick Scott a grade for his time in office.
B.
And who will be your party's gubernatorial nominee in 2018?
Adam Putnam.
Okay. Woo. Representative Peters, same questions. You're taking a cab from the airport, or you have to get a ride from the airport. Are you taking an Uber Lyft, or are you taking a taxi cab?
Taxi cab.
Are you, are you in support of Amendment 1?
No.
Okay. Give Governor Scott a grade.
A.
A. And who will be your party's nominee in 2018? Gubernatorial nominee.
Oh, I think Senator Latvala. Now I left the room. I'm getting great.
Chris Latvala, same round of questions. You're taking a trip from TIA, Uber Lyft, or a taxi cab?
Uber.
And are you in support of Amendment 1?
No.
Give Rick Scott a grade.
B.
And who will be your party's nominee for the governor's office in 2018?
I personally hope it's Jack Latvala. If not, Jeb Bush.
Okay, and last round to Ms. Grizzle. All right, you're taking a ride from TIA, Uber Lyft, or a cab?
Well, I had my son get me, but I guess I could say either one, actually. I don't have a choice.
On okay. Are you in favor of Amendment 1 or not?
The solar?
Yes.
No.
Give Rick Scott a grade.
F.
We knew which way that was going. And who will be your party's gubernatorial nominee in
2018? Woman. It'll be Gwen Graham. So.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Let's give everybody up here a round of applause for some really good answers.
You've been listening to live coverage of today's Suncoast Tiger Bay Club Luncheon from the St. Petersburg, Florida Yacht Club. You heard a candidates forum. All candidates identified are running for the Florida House, part of our continuing series of live broadcasts from the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club. Our next broadcast from here will be on October 6th, when the two candidates for Florida 13, the 13th Congressional District, former Governor Charlie Crist and Congressman David Jolly will be appearing. Hope you'll join us on October 6th for that broadcast beginning at 12:05 Eastern Daylight Time. In the meantime, hope you'll stay tuned to RadioSt.Pete.com throughout the day as we bring you news, weather, today's hits, yesterday's favorites, local live event coverage such as this, and, of course, interviews with the folks that make the local events happen. This has been a public affairs presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com live from the St. Petersburg, Florida Yacht Club. This is Joe Bordeaux. Thanks for listening. We return you now to our studios.